Congratulations. You've made an excellent life choice today. You're displaying strong character and good taste in tuning into this infotainment web zone. We're poorly informed, highly opinionated, and hold no topic off limits. This is Idiots Discuss the Universe.
Cerelli, who's like a racist Italian caricature.
I don't know why he has to be racist.
No. He isn't racist. It's a racist portrayal. Right?
Yeah.
But it's okay because they're like
white. Are Italians their own race?
Not anymore.
Okay.
You know, they go under the subcategory of white now.
Right.
It's all white, you know, which is all fair game for us.
It's weird that Italians are considered white, where Latinos that come from Latin are considered non-white.
Right.
And you would think that Italians would be Latino because, like, it's Latin,
right,
which is Rome.
And Spanish people from Spain
are considered Latino.
No, they're considered white, I would say.
Yeah.
But you would think they would be considered Latino just because of the roots of the language.
Greek. I think Greek, Italy, and Spain were all considered like Latino countries to some degree.
Mm-hmm. Well, all those people were, they used to not be white. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
They used to be, like, back in the early days of America, they were.
Yeah, but when racism was really, really clicking, like, oh my God, those are dirt races for sure.
Yeah.
Like, all of them, the Latino, you know, all of it. Yeah.
White people used to just be, like, Anglo-Saxons, and that's it.
Right,
kind of
You came from around the North or the Baltic Sea, or you didn't count.
Yeah, you're not white. You're some sort of dirty mutt. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh, we're getting into hot water already.
Right.
But it's true. Like, I just have a lot of fun doing accents and making fun of the way that people talk.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone,
because
there's so many silly ways that people talk out there, you know?
And we absolutely have it too.
I mean,
we are the total, like, West Coast.
Oh boy.
Like,
I would love to hear people's impression of how we talk. We're just, we're so articulate, and we say every syllable in the word, and we have, like, a general smugness to our vernacular. Like, no, like, that's the kind of West Coast.
We got a lazy,
we talk slow. Yeah, you
like,
know, man.
Seriously, like, I called, like, a bathroom faucet dude the other day. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, you call things dude that are not.
Come on, dude. Like, I'll call my car dude.
Seriously, dude.
Dude, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Inanimate objects calling
that's
them
a West,
dude.
That's a West Coast thing.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't realize that I had, like, that kind of accent until I was in Europe, and then people would make fun of me because they could be like, oh, you know, you are from West Coast.
Hang 10, my bro. Yeah.
Go easy, dude.
Yeah, take it easy, my guy. Yeah. Hey, hey.
And then I punch out some of their teeth, and then
That's very Midwest of you. That's not very West Coast of you.
I'm not
Craig.
From the Midwest.
Oh,
I'm
that's
still
right.
Not
you're
not from the Midwest.
You're,
you've got that fucking locked in your brain somehow that I am from the Midwest.
You're from
just
that cluster of
I marry women from the Midwest. I'm not from there.
Oh, right. You're from the Rockies or something.
Right.
What did we decide
mountain
it was?
States.
Mountain states.
Yeah.
Mm.
The Rocky Mountain states, yeah.
Those are very different.
They are very different.
They
are very
not
different.
Not to be confused with the ones one state over.
If you visited the one state over, you would see that it is very different.
I know I'm ignorant.
It's very
different.
I know
I'm ignorant, Craig.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't have to remind me of how ignorant I am all the time. Okay. I know.
Well, no, you remind me of how ignorant you are all the time. You know, I don't remind you. I didn't like, hey, remember you always say I'm from the Midwest? You called me from the Midwest.
You're a little touchy about it, I will say.
It's just your common go-to.
I know.
You know, I mean,
I do say it in a derisive way.
Well, yeah, you did
the Midwest.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That place I've never been. Yeah. Have you ever been to the Midwest?
You know, I don't
think Chicago.
I've spent like 5 hours in Chicago on a layover.
Oh, that counts. Yeah. You know it.
Yeah, I know. So I know all about
Midwest
it.
As well as anything.
I'm very familiar with
Fort Wayne, all the way Fort Wayne to Jackson, Mississippi. You got it all.
Mississippi's in the Midwest too.
Well, that's more the southern. No. Yeah, it's like the top of Mississippi.
Yeah. No, I don't. I'm a West Coast elitist prick when it comes to
after prick. You don't have to qualify it. A West Coast elitist prick. I am a West Coast elitist prick.
That's what I am.
I am too now.
You are. You're one of us.
You're one of us, Craig. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm even pricky enough that some of the homespun homeboys look up to me like this as something.
Well, because really you're just a Rocky Mountain prick.
Right. Yes.
That's what really you are, which is a pricklier kind of prick.
Well, sure. Like people from the mountains are generally angrier and more ornery than people.
Ornery.
Word. Than people from the lowlands.
I love that. That word's been coming up a lot randomly.
Ornery?
Ornery. Yeah. Yeah. It's a great word.
Yeah.
I love, like, what would you say people from the Rocky, from Wyoming in particular, like, what's their way of talking? If you could do, like, a satirical Wyoming accent.
Oh.
Because I can't really place it.
They don't really have too much of it. There's a little bit of, like, an Oklahoma sort of.
A little
North Dakota sort of. You know, southern twang to it a little bit. Just a little bit of a southern twang to it.
So like some southern twang mixed with the North Dakota, like, oh, you know, kind of a thing?
There is a little bit of southern, a little bit of North Dakota in parts of it, but mostly it's got that. See, I don't know. Wyoming has such a transient population and it has had that for so long that, you know, Wyoming was never really settled by any particular people. It was always just like people that like got stuck there kind of and
they gave up halfway to the West Coast.
They're from all over, you know, I mean, everywhere in the country is kind of like, every big family comes from somewhere else, you know, there after a little bit. So it all, like, there's something about the Rocky Mountains that a lot of the major newscasters and things all come from Rocky Mountain states because they do have a very flat, like Dan Rather's from Colorado. I mean, he's got that super, like, no accent, just that American voice, you know, and a lot of people that are like the long term residents of, I mean, there are some folks that got that southern, little bit of a southern tongue, you know, that have been out in the country a little bit. They got that country, a little bit of country to them. But most of even those folks speak very plain English, you know, very plain. Mm-hmm. And that's a common thing. Montana, Idaho, Wyoming, all the way through that whole swath of the United States, you know, they really do have good, like, pretty even keel voices.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would be my thing. If there is any, it's almost always like the Oklahoma sort of little bit of that trashy Southern Oklahoma drawl to it, because we've had so much of those folks that have moved up with the oil booms and stuff that, you know, kind of gets pushed on.
Hmm.
But yeah, I mean, there's a little Texas to it, too, a little bit, you know, but very little.
A little drop of Texas in there.
Sure. Yeah.
See, accents are just fascinating to me.
Yeah.
They're very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should everyone should have carte blanche with just making fun of the way people talk.
Yeah, I guess so. You know? I mean, what do you think about people that have speech impediments?
I mean, it's mean. It's meaner. It's a lower hanging fruit, and it's mean. I'm not going to say that it's nice, but it's depending on how bad it is, like, yeah, maybe
it's okay.
Maybe it's a little okay.
I personally think that, like, all comedy is okay.
Yeah.
In a sense. I think that it's all okay. And then the audience decide what's
funny.
Popular.
Yeah. Really what they're going to laugh at. But I guess the speech impediment thing, it just comes across as cheap. You know, it's not like you are making fun of, and I guess all accents in a way, you're making fun of something that somebody can't really control.
I mean, look at like Jerry Lewis. I mean, arguably, like, his character, the guy that had, like, the stutter and the super, like, that was kind of a weird deal. You know, like, if you look at it through the filter of today.
Sure.
You know, that wouldn't make it.
So little stands up to the scrutiny of the modern era.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Once you're looking to be offended and thinking about who might this offend, you know? Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. Then very little of it. Especially in a comedic sense. That's why you just got to have an open field. And I love doing the Indian accent. That's what I'm saying. Like, and I'm not racist. I'm not racist. And that sounds like something that like a racist person would need to qualify. Like, I swear I'm not racist. I swear to God, I'm really not. Please believe me. But I just think they talk in a very peculiar and funny way, and I like to pretend to talk like I am Indian, and I think there is something in the inflection that I like. You know, there's a different tone, there's a different cadence, you know, but you can't do that now. Like, people are gonna look at you sideways.
Did I hear this, that the Simpsons took Abu off?
I forget whether or not they really went through with that, but there was a whole controversy because he is voiced by a white guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I forget the actor, but he's a famous funny guy. Yeah. And
Hank Aziz, I think.
Azaria. Yeah, yeah. And yeah, there was a whole campaign, a whole Twitter, you know, campaign hashtag thing to get Apu, whatever it is, removed from The Simpsons. Yeah. And it's just, that saddens me because accents are funny, people. Yeah. Like, I really hope I know people in other countries are making fun of the way Americans talk. Hello, I am American. I am here with my confidence and my blue jeans.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
It's fucking funny. It's absolutely true. Like, yeah. That is so true. Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever hear an English person do a like hilarious American impression? You're like, oh, fuck that. That's
it's pretty weird. Yeah. Yeah. That it is. It's an accent.
Yeah.
I mean, it's whole. Totally is an accent.
Yeah, and digging into the R's the way we do. We really like our R's, you know. We really dig into them in America. And so, I don't know. I think it should all be on the table. And I'm probably just saying that for selfish reasons, because I want to be able to do an impression of anyone that I hear, you know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that there's got to be, like, it has to be open, like you say, but hopefully the people that are doing the comedy have been raised to be individuals that have enough wherewithal and, you know, nuanced stuff that, like, I mean, I don't feel like you're doing it to be hateful. You know,
no.
I feel like there have been people that have done that sort of stuff to be hateful.
Yeah.
And that kind of ruins it. But I feel like comedy that is done in order to open up topics that we normally would find very uncomfortable to talk about. And race definitely falls into that category.
Sure.
And like, shit, if we can laugh about those differences, then that's a win.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Abu, like, I watched a lot of Simpsons, you know, and, like, at one point he did start out as a caricature of, like, that convenience store clerk. But the thing about that character is that he then developed into a living, breathing character on the show.
Multidimensional.
That broke that stereotype, and in a certain sense, like, it, you broke through that with that show in a way that was a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter who did the voice. You know, I mean, I just don't see how that guy did the voice for like 3/4 of the show.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like,
he's a great voice actor.
Up until like when Phil Hartman and him did all of the voices, I believe, for like the first long time of the show. And, oh, that's a shame. That's just a shame. That's just weird and a shame to me.
Someone should write in and let us know if they actually axed Apu, because I'm not exactly certain, but I know it was
Lord
a whole controversy.
I'm not going to watch any more new Simpsons. That just is a heartbreaker. watching the new Simpsons. I've just not enjoyed any of those in the last 4 or 5 years at all.
Oh, I have. Yeah, I haven't been watching them at all.
I watch one every once in a while because I, like I say, used to love it.
I love going back through the old ones though. Yeah. Every once in a while.
Yeah, up till like season 9 or so, it's great. Mm-hmm. It's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it has moments of brilliance after that. But like it is, seasons like 4, 5, 6, and 7 are just so amazing.
Yeah.
When Conan O'Brien was like the producer of it, it was like one of the best
shows. I always forget that
ever.
He was one of the lead guys.
Oh my God. Yeah. It was amazing. Yeah. Phil Hartman, Conan O'Brien, and like just had just that. It was a dream team.
Yeah. God damn. We're all raised on The Simpsons. It's crazy.
Do you like The Simpsons or Futurama better?
Simpsons, I think. That's tough. Because Futurama's got some fucking great, great stuff going on. I don't know. To me, they're part of like the same universe. I almost think of them as the same show. I know they're different,
right?
But they're, you know, the animation style is the same.
Oh, sure,
a lot
sure.
of the joke structures right. are very
and they
similar.
Are supposed to. I mean, that Disenchantment's supposed to occur in the same universe
right.
as all of them.
Yeah.
Too.
Which I didn't
I
see
that.
I think
that Futurama's consistently a better show than The Simpsons, like episode per episode, like all the Futurama would rank higher than The Simpsons now, because The Simpsons have been going for definitely The Simpsons, the more groundbreaking, better, you know, most important, one of the most important shows ever, you know, but like, I think Futurama as far as quality is just a higher quality all the way through.
Yeah.
Cause like the first couple episodes, first couple seasons of The Simpsons were really now they're just so like, wow, weird. Yeah.
Weird. That was a weird little sound.
That was a weird little sound.
Weird little robot beep.
Huh. Where's that coming from?
I could not tell you. But this provides us a nice little space to say what's up and welcome everyone to another episode of Idiots Discuss the Universe. I'm Spencer. That's Craig over there.
Howdy ho.
Howdy ho.
Howdy ho.
And we're taking it, we're playing it a little loose today. Mm-hmm. We're playing a little fast and loose with another jazz episode.
Jazzercise, baby.
We're jazzercising today. We're getting our spandex on. We're
we
getting
have to
our
come
weights.
Up with something to call these. You know, I guess we could just pull things out of our...
I think you've been doing a great job with titling them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't
did
seem...
I don't remember what they titled them.
Well, they're always...
That's why I had the confused look. I'm like,
you're like,
what did I do?
Well, they're always interesting. Like you said, you pull stuff out of the...
Oh, the one that was... I did like the one that we did with the Spencers that ended. I can't remember what the first two things were, but it was like Spencer's marriage scam.
Oh, yeah.
Marriage for money
Which
scam.
Is still going to happen, folks. That's right. Yeah, just send us an email.
It was called Existential Thinking. Hollow Earth... Exponential Thinking and Spencer's Marriage for Money Scam.
Oh. Well, the Hollow Earth was its a whole own episode.
So what
right?
did we call the other one? I don't know.
No, that wasn't a jazz episode.
I don't
episode.
Think I'm doing a great job. Let me see.
No, you're doing great, Craig. Now is not the time for existential thinking. Now is the time
okay,
for
so
speaking.
For the last one I called, the last jazz one that we did, I called it Feeding Crickets to Your Lizard.
That's
or
right.
Or Privacy Freak Flags. News, punditry, and the appropriate punishment for littering.
Wow. Yeah, it's got a jazzy ring to it.
It does. It does.
We're like, wow, he just strung a lot of words together there. I don't know what exactly it means, but it's intriguing.
I hope it's intriguing.
I think it is.
I don't know.
Yeah. So, speaking of jazz, I saw a great show that was not jazz at all. But it was a former guest of the show, my roommate and good friend Dan.
Steely Dan.
Steely Dan the man. He plays
the
in a band.
The most stoned sounding sober individual that you'll ever meet.
The most stoned sober guy that you're ever going to meet. It is incredible. He is pot. He doesn't need to smoke it. You know, he is it. And I love him. And... He plays drums for a band called Kalululu.
How many Lulus are there at the end there?
There's
one and a half.
Three? Kulu.
No, how many Lulus?
Kulululu. So there's three Lus and one Ku.
Right. So there's one and a half Lulus.
No, there's three Lulus.
There's three Lus. There's one and a half Lulus.
Oh, Jesus.
That's math, baby.
Oh, my God.
that is just too complicated. You're just.
I said, how many Lulus? And you're like, and there is Kalulu. So it's.
No, it's Kalulu.
It's one and a half Lulus.
You're right. It's Kalulu Lu.
Kalulu Lu.
Yeah.
Kalulu Lu.
One more than feels comfortable.
Kalu. Ka. Lu.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they are a Portland staple. Mm-hmm. They're a very interesting band, and I saw them play the Wonder Ballroom a few nights ago for almost sold out crowd. There got it had to be 700 plus people there.
Wow.
It was awesome.
I'm so glad I didn't
go. Yeah, I was trying to get Craig to go, and he bailed.
Oh, was one of the things I was telling myself to try to get myself to go. I'm like, well, it probably won't be that crowded.
Oh,
you know,
man,
maybe like 200 people. You know, it'll be like in that place. It's really big, so it'd be fine, you know. Oh, my God.
I really wish you did go, because I wanted to see your reaction to the sea of people. Oh,
swinging my cane at people. Fucking trying to find a place that I can sit down.
No.
I need to sit down and
see. They do have a good balcony.
Yeah, they do.
They have a good balcony.
They have an old person basement, too, that they play the show on a TV.
The old person
and
basement.
And you can just sit down there and
sip my gin and tonic.
My water. Yeah, my orange juice and watch the show.
Yeah, you don't give yourself enough credit there.
And then you leave so quickly that you tell yourself that you don't know that there's an encore. You know, you act like
that's definitely it. Like, all right, cool, I can go now.
Yeah, you recognize when you get old, you recognize when that song, not the end song, but the song that they play at the end of the official set.
Right.
You know when that is, and then you take your leave. And you start moving towards the back mm-hmm. while that song's going. So you've only got like, because sometimes they come back quick. You know, these bands are hungry, and they come back quick.
They know they don't have forever.
Or they want to do, like, two or three encores for the first one, they come right back.
That's ridiculous.
Well, there's some of them that just soak it up. They love it.
I know.
They love it.
I get it. But this show, though, I want to tell you about it. And I want to tell you about Kalulu and our listeners out there. They're very interesting. They play in masks. They all dress up in masks and weird wigs and whatnot. And they play a kind of, I would call it punk music. It's got a very punk bass line to it, as far as a lot of the structures of the songs and the guitar riffs are very punky, you know, fast paced. But it's got an uplifting sort of harmonic feel to it. And they're very silly. They're a very silly band. They dance around. They make songs. They have one of their popular songs is called Crab Dad. Uh-huh. And it's like, I'm a crab dad, and like, you're a crab dad. I don't fucking know the words, but it's just really silly. And all their fans do this little make crab claws, you know. They've got this whole very diehard following in Portland. Okay. And but they're very musically tight. Like sometimes they'll bust out a weird little jazz section or a progressive rock section, or you know, they mix it up. And the very interesting thing that I think is fucking genius, they got the crowd to start booing them after every song. So they're like, we really appreciate your enthusiasm out there, but we think that we would like it more if you would please boo us after every song. And 700 people just straight booing is something I've never heard before.
Huh.
Yeah. And it worked. And I looked around, and plenty of people there had never seen him before, and they were like, who the fuck is this? Who are these guys? Like, it's just an ingenious kind of a gimmick. It's a gimmick, but it was fucking funny, and it really worked out for him and made him, I'm sure a lot of people went and looked him up and are going to remember that whole thing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So they do funny things like that. And so it's a little bit more than a band. They've got a whole ethos.
Right. Okay.
To
interesting.
Them.
That's pretty cool.
They are cool. And Daniel the Manuel Rossi, he plays
Do
drums
they have
for
like him. a house around town that they all live at, and they invite, you know, people to live in their basement and things like that?
Well,
too?
Actually, yeah. They were practicing at our house for a long time.
Okay.
Well, when Dan was first learning the songs. So I don't know if they have a house. They might have at one point, but
Yeah, they've been practicing at our house, and it's really fun to listen to their new stuff. And I feel like, ooh, I'm behind the scenes, you know,
and I'm talking
to these dudes without their masks
on. So were you on the list last night? You got in? I was
on the list, yes.
You're on the list.
I was on the list. Oh, yeah, felt good. I still bought a ticket for summer, though.
Okay.
You know?
Okay, well, that's good. They didn't put summer. They didn't give you a plus one. You're not quite plus one on the list
yet. No, I'm not
yet.
Quite plus one material, but yeah. I'm on there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really fucking fun. And the band that they opened for is called Moon Hooch.
Yeah, okay.
They're definitely way more popular than I realized, but they're kind of a dancey horn experimental situation going on. Very dancey. Everyone was getting so down. You know, everyone was dancing their little tushes off to this stuff and made me feel like kind of a curmudgeon. Because
you didn't dance?
Not a lot. I
there was summer and you didn't dance?
Yeah, I know.
Are you afraid?
No, I've gotten down with summer in particular, like at other shows before. I just wasn't in. I was kind of tired and I wasn't in the fucking dancing
mood.
You
should see the face that I'm getting right now.
What face?
I was kind of tired.
Well, fuck. This is coming from the guy who couldn't even go to the show because he was tired.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So at least I went. But yeah, I
went and brought everybody down.
Yeah, exactly.
Besides, I stayed home with my old ass.
Yeah, that's true. You spared the world. You spared the world of your negativity.
Yeah.
No, I inflicted it upon other people gladly.
No. Yeah.
I made them feel ridiculous for dancing. Look at you white people dancing. You look so stupid. You fools.
Dancing.
Yes, I will stand back here with my arms folded, nodding.
You're like the entire adult population of the movie Footloose.
Yeah. Just condensed into one fucking
no
hipster.
Dancing on Sunday.
Yeah. That's me. Yeah, I wish I had. I wasn't that into it, though.
So when Summer would try to start dancing, did you tell her stop it?
Yeah, I would glare at her.
Give her a little bit of
yeah,
a
yeah, I would
elbow.
Give her just a quick jab. Quick jab in the side, and then she would learn. She would know. No, Summer started dancing, and I would you know, I was moving a little bit, but there were people who were really fucking getting it.
Oh, my God.
And I was just not feeling it like that. Mm-hmm. I wanted to observe and just watch more from, like, the nerdy perspective. Like, oh, what are they doing up there on stage? Oh, I wonder what kind of filter he's using. You know? And, yeah, that's more the mood I was in that night. But it was still very fun, and cool. It was a great time.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, the kind of mood I was in that night was I didn't want to fucking go to that show, so I didn't.
I completely respect that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I do. I do indeed. But I do want you to see Kalululu at some point.
No, I plan to, yeah. I would enjoy it. Yeah.
They're cool. They're interesting. At very least, they're entertaining. I kind of describe them as like the Wiggles for Portland hipsters.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of what it sounds like.
Not in like a bad way, but they'll have songs that are like Sunday,
you know,
Monday. Tuesday.
Yeah.
Wednesday. Friday. Like they're these like sing-along-y like songs, but it's for like weird Portland hipster folks. I don't know.
It's kind of like that Portland hipster where you walk into a place and you see like a dude sitting in the corner wearing like a safety vest and a top hat, smoking a
corn
vape,
cob pipe.
And then he's got like cut off jeans, and you're not quite sure if he is mentally retarded or the coolest dude in the room.
Yeah,
if that guy were a band,
mm-hmm. Yes,
it would be Kalululu.
Exactly.
You know, you're like, is this awful or is it pretty cool? Or,
yeah.
Or is this song for, is this like the Wiggles for like grown up retards? Or is it like beyond?
You can't say
like
the R word, Craig. You can't say the R word.
I still say the R word.
No,
I'm sorry.
Good for you. No, it's good. I like it too.
I usually only use the R word for people that aren't actually mentally challenged that act like morons.
Well, that's the whole thing, is that's when it became offensive, is once people started using it for people who weren't retarded.
So I still use it in the way that it was meant originally to be offensive toward people that were. I don't refer to the people that.
No, if you call an actually retarded person retarded, you're a fucking dick now, you know?
Right. But at one time, like, you know,
that was just the name for it.
That was just the name for it. It was not disrespectful in any
people
way.
People like, look, this is our new kid in class. He is Billy, and he is retarded, so be nice to him.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I went to that school.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the resource rent center and like, yeah, the retards and like, yeah, I mean, that's what it was called.
Right. But once
it wasn't, oh boy. I mean, it was just what it was called. I mean, nobody batted an eye about it.
No, I know. At some point, I think it was your generation who probably took it and then was like,
yeah.
You're like,
oh, yeah.
Hey, like my friends are being fucking retarded right now, mm-hmm. you know? And they're like, oh no, we need to change it now yeah. to mentally handicapped right. or something.
And see, that's what they're trying to get away from with retarded, you know, because they call them imbeciles or morons right. or whatever they were calling before, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so they wanted something that described what it was, but wasn't offensive mm-hmm. and retarded just means like it slow is or... slow or mm-hmm. less than fully developed mm-hmm. you know, and it doesn't insinuate that it's not going to fully develop. It's just, you know,
well, it's
saying?
A musical term for sure. For a pace, like to retard is to like slow down,
right? And yeah, and now we're back to calling them mentally deficient, you know, or whatever. Yeah, different something. Things like, you know, mentally challenged and stuff.
Yeah.
That is like, really, if you look at it, that's more name calling than retarded is name calling. Really.
Yeah. It's a longer term.
Yeah.
To say that.
But it sounds a little more scientific, and I guess it makes it right. seem a little bit more okay.
I guess so.
Something. Language is so weird.
It is very,
you know,
very
how
strange.
Things change, you know.
Yeah. And it's happening quicker and quicker because now people can come up with all sorts of crazy insults on the internet. You know, the pace that which language is being passed around is, yo, been jacked up exponentially. Like, I mean, look at what we're doing. We can now talk to people and just shoot it out there. We can just have like yes. a normal conversation and just send it out to for any random stranger to hear.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing how quickly new slang terms and stuff get spread around.
Yeah.
You know.
It's bonkers.
Annoyingly quickly.
Oh, it's impossible to keep up with. You yeah. know, people pretend like they keep up with, but it's like a full-time job, you know? If folks who are really on top of all that internet lingo mm-hmm. and slang, mm-hmm. like they are so deeply embedded into whatever forum or chat room that they are... Yeah. Getting that from that,
I mean,
it's,
but
it's like
just
a job.
It's just weird that, like, for example, like the new like herd, which is a thing that I've heard now for the last like
herd.
Yeah, you know, like you say, like, hey, yeah. I need you to go, or like, this such and such happened, and then they'll be like, oh, herd.
Oh,
you
know,
like I heard you on that.
Mm.
Yeah. It's like word with an H, you know, it's basically like word, heard. You know, word, you know, same
oh,
sort
cool.
of thing.
I like that.
I don't. I mean, it just came out of nowhere, though. People I know that never used it ever once, like all of a sudden, like use it.
Is this a current thing?
Oh, current thing right now. Huh. And it goes from zero to like constant.
Mm, heard. It's, heard.
Yes.
Heard.
It's weird. It's weird how people pick that up and it sticks into their brain and they just say it again. Are they in try? Because it's almost like you have to try to incorporate it. And then once you do, you can't break it.
Yeah, you can't take it out.
Yeah.
There's things like that that I say that I got in there when I was, you know, in middle school and I like snowboarding. I say sick. Oh, that's so sick, dude. And if I start thinking about some of the,
you do say sick
I say
a lot.
Sick. And if I start thinking about some of the bullshit that I say that comes out of my mouth, I'm like, oh fuck.
Uh-huh.
Like, dear
See,
God.
See, ladies and gentlemen, Spencer has always kind of has a problem with like listening to the podcast later. And I've never really understood it, but the more that we talk about it, he like brings up little things that, you know, but he's getting better at it. You know, it's been a challenging, you
I've
know,
been
a
listening
challenge
more.
For you.
Yeah.
But yeah,
you know, it's been hard.
That's one of the things, probably, because you do say sick sometimes in like a lot of the episodes and that sort
I say
of thing.
Things that make me cringe.
Yeah. See, that's weird because I don't hear those things really.
Yeah. It's very, we've already dissected this.
Sure.
It's a very narcissistic thing that I do. And I'm trying to get better at it and just not give a shit.
But it's a common thing. I mean, it's not even narcissistic, but I do think, I mean, it is have some elements of narcissism too, but the idea of hearing your own voice played back to you is truly an alien concept that we're not meant to really do as like,
it is weird.
As beings in like a time-space continuum,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. It's a very recent phenomenon.
Yes.
As in like you know, the past 40 years.
I mean, there's always been echoes in that sort of thing, but the idea of going back and listening to something that you may have recorded like 2 weeks ago or something like mm-hmm. that, where you've forgotten the majority of it, so you're almost listening to it new, mm-hmm. Is a startling, odd thing. And most people have a hard time looking at pictures of themselves, too. You yeah. know, that's not something that can...
I just saw Craig get derailed.
Yeah, I just got derailed.
He got derailed by a text message. Yeah, but people get the same way about photos of themselves. Any sort of capturing of who you are as a person...
It steals a little bit of your soul, and I think that we...
You believe that?
Oh, that's scientifically proven.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And speaking of which, I think we should do some Idiots Discuss the Universe pictures of us today.
Oh, maybe. I'm down.
You're looking quite handsome.
Oh, wow, Craig.
No, you're kind of cleaned up. I can tell that you've got soap's gotten within, you know, a little bit of you in the last
very
couple
astute,
days. You know?
Very astute.
Summer makes him shower.
She makes me shower. She's my better half, you know. She makes sure I shower and that I don't cuss too much.
She has one of those little Taiwanese, like, baton things that she just jabs it in his ribs until he moves him into the shower.
No, she just hoses me down like a prison warden.
Scrub down.
Yeah.
We're going out tonight.
Yeah, it's what I need. Yeah. You know, it really is. I'm a filthy, filthy human. Oh God.
She lifts them up out of the grime,
out of the filth,
and polishes it up a little bit and sends it out there into the world.
Yeah.
And it's a little better.
Just a little bit.
It's a little better.
A little bit. But yeah. That's a very astute observation. I'm down to do some photos today. Yeah. Photo shoot.
We're doing a little Idiots in Space, we could do a do an IG story with the space background. I think that's a lot of laughs.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need a green screen.
We do need it.
Once we get visual stuff going, we need a green screen.
Yeah, once we get the network going.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Green screen, one of those little like benches that they can all sit at so we can be like total talking heads.
Yeah.
We need some suits. We'll wear suits.
Suits?
Yeah.
I don't know if we're suit guys.
If we're going to sit at the little bench with the green screen, we kind of need suits.
Mm. Yeah, we could play into the news.
You'll be one of those really awesome original dudes that has like shorts on, but then like the suit top. Just so you look normal. Yeah. And then when you stand up, you can still be like all...
Yeah, wearing Hawaiian shorts or something.
God damn. Yeah.
That's perfect.
That's so original, too. It's perfect.
So original. Well, that's what we're all about here at the IDTU.
We are pretty original,
We're pretty original gangsters.
I don't know what we are. Do you think that there's like 5 million podcasts that are talking about the same things and doing the same things that we are sometimes?
Not 5 million, but depending on what we talk about. Like, for example, if we were to start talking about the new Michael Jackson documentary, then...
Boy, I have not seen that.
Neither have I. But it's all everyone's been talking about. So once we get into that, then yeah, we're kind of getting into that territory that all the podcasts are on right now. That topical hot button stuff, that relevant internet stuff. We want to get in while the tide is high, while the iron is hot.
Is that the direction that we're wanting to go? You know, that sort of thing. I like
touching upon that stuff now and again. I haven't seen that documentary, so
right.
I don't.
Right.
That was just an example, but I like talking about topical things, and I also like being able to talk about just random bullshit that goes on in you and in our daily lives.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. Or just random stuff that doesn't have anything to do with anything.
Yeah. But that's the thing about these jazz episodes is I think it does give us some room to work in some more topical hot button things.
You know, and I feel like we can, but I feel like there's also room to like fit in some smaller topics too that maybe don't fit into full episodes. Like, I feel like there should be like a grab bag element of these episodes, maybe.
We did that one time where we literally had a bag and we were grabbing topics out of it.
Yeah.
That was fun.
It was fake topics.
Well, don't tell them that, Craig.
We told them that in the episode, Spencer.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, no, we have a hard time keeping up a mirage, really. We're a little bit too honest, pretty transparent.
Yeah, we're getting meta honest. Right now. We're talking about the podcast that you are currently listening to.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll probably cut all this out.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. A lot of times when we go into talking shop, I'll cut it out.
Yeah, that's a good call.
We want to give away the secrets.
Something strange happened, and this is topical.
Okay.
This is topical. Something strange happened this past week where one of these talking head Democrat people said something that I totally agree with, and it stirred up a lot of controversy.
Oh dear.
I've been dabbling more in the dark arts of the conservative talking points recently.
Okay.
And, you know, Craig knows this, and I'm not trying to shy away from it. I'm just trying to learn because I've been raised with a inherent political bias, having grown up in Portland.
Sure.
Left-leaning bias. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of want to center myself out a little bit, especially with all the crazy shit going on nowadays where you don't know who's talking facts and who's talking straight bullshit.
Uh-huh.
And so I've been leaning a little, you know, looking into the conservative stuff. And this one of these new freshman Congress people, Ilhan Omar, she's the Muslim elect from... I want to say Minnesota,
okay,
or something. She's in a whole lot of hot water right now because of some stuff that she said. And I've been hearing people on both sides reaming her. The conservatives are pissed off at her. The Democrats are pissed off at her. That kind of a thing.
Right.
And I'm realizing when that happens, that's usually some stuff I actually really agree with. When both sides are pissed.
So tell us the situation.
Well, okay. So here's the quote. And she was quoted in some sort of Politico interview. She says, "We can't only be upset with Trump. His policies are bad, but many of the people who came before him also had really bad policies. They just were more polished than he was. And that's not what we should be looking for anymore. We don't want anybody to get away with murder because they are polished. We want to recognize the actual policies that are behind the pretty face and the smile." That was the quote. End quote.
Wow.
And when I hear that, like, you know, devoid of context and whatnot, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on board with that. As that sits as a statement in and of itself,
mm-hmm.
I'm on board 100%.
Right?
Yeah.
People are losing their shit because to give it more context, she was talking about the Obama administration and how.
Oh, well, yeah, you can't talk bad about
Obama. Right. No, 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 no. He's the golden knight.
Yeah.
She was talking about how the whole practice of caging kids at the border was started with the Obama administration, made very prominent with the Obama administration. You know, it's not not something that Trump invented, even though he's getting the blame for that.
No.
You know, so that's a very real thing, a kind of truth to power statement that I was surprised to hear. And she was also talking about the droning program that Obama instituted, droning of countries around the world. You know, so really kind of being critical of the golden boys. You know, the untouchables, in a good way, I guess, of the untouchables of the Democratic Party. And
yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it's funny because the conservative pundits are pissed off that she's bringing up like droning stuff and saying, you know, it just pissed everyone off. The Democrats are pissed off because she is painting Obama in some sort of similar light as Trump.
Well, Spencer, you know? I don't want to break your bubble, but like, the conservative and the Republican sides are the same bunch of
folks.
You mean
conservative and Democrats?
The Republicans and the Democrats are the same fucking folks that are part of, like, whatever, the capital hierarchy system that's running the country. And the reason they don't like Trump is that he's not one of their foot soldiers 110%. He's only probably, like, 70, 60, 70% bought in to the system. And they don't own his ass 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they don't like him, is he is the unexpected variable that they were not expecting. And he thumbed his nose at the system and beat the system.
Yeah.
And the system pulled everything out that it could pull out against him. And it still is.
Wasn't effective.
And it's somewhat effective.
Wow.
But like, it still has not completely stopped his motivation, his momentum forward, or his momentum through everything. And no, I don't agree with everything that Trump has, because he's just about as morally vacuous as any other person that reaches that level of power.
Sure.
In order to operate in that those theaters of power, you have to be like fucking ruthless like fucking
Jesus.
It's amazing the shit that you have to be able to do no matter what. And they're all like that. But it is absolutely true. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, she's calling the whole thing a farce. You know, that's the only thing that people are upset about, is that Trump, they can't control Trump's fucking information flow. I mean, that Twitter account of Trump's is problematic the way things were run before.
Yeah, completely turns it upside down.
Mm-hmm.
No, I agree 100% with all of that, and there's no bubble burst. I'm on board with all that stuff. I guess it was just more, I was more surprised by, and just reminded of that fact with the reaction to this quote and just the general hubbub around it. And I know she's said other things critical of Israel and whatnot. And I don't know. I don't know everything that she is about, but just with this particular case, particular scenario, it just kind of, it reiterated that thing that I already knew, was that the Democrats and Republicans are basically on the same team. They both have a vested interest in maintaining this duopoly of a system. They both have a vested interest in being like, all right, you guys are the ones who talk about social issues, we're the ones who were fiscal, you know, you guys, you know, there, it makes it so that there is like an illusion of choice, so to speak, you know when really you're choosing between one corporately influenced shill pawn or another one. Like, there's a red colored one or a blue colored one. Which one would you like? You know, so I completely agree with that. And I guess this quote just kind of reminded me of that, and it was a little refreshing to see, because I was not expecting to agree with it, I suppose. And then it got built up in a way by like the media, and then I read it and I was like, oh, that's very factual.
I think that you would find that no matter what area of politics, when people are coming in fresh from things that they're usually like pretty decent human beings that are trying to, you know, they may see things under a certain belt, but they're going to kind of call truth to power because they feel like that's what they're there for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's either going to like, I don't know what her reaction. Do you know what her reaction was to getting called out?
She walked it back, or at least had to like really say like, "Oh, I love Obama, and I was not meaning to draw a comparison in any way." Mm-hmm. She had to totally walk it back.
Yeah.
And
I don't know. I mean, there's a part of the Democratic Party that is looking back. They're going to look back to the Obama years as like that, you know, 8 years of JFK, you know, in a way that they look back to JFK, and you're just not going to be able to say anything about that at all. And they're just never going to be able to get back there. You know, I mean, it's just not, that ship has sailed, you know, and people that really look at Obama's presidency, like, it was a lot of wasted opportunities in a lot of ways. You know, it was a lot of hemming and hawing and a lot of business as usual when there was a lot of promise of things moving forward in a direction. I mean, there's a lot of fancy proclamations and various things that were set forth, but very little actually done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Smoke and mirrors.
It was a lot of smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
For the guy that sold himself on change.
Hope
and change. He got the hope part. You got the hope part because you were hoping something was going to happen, and that continued. And then it just didn't, really. Mm-hmm. You know? It was Ronald Reagan. Pretty quietly Ronald Reagan.
Hmm. Well,
I mean, fiscally Ronald Reagan.
No, the tax policies were very... Obama?
Yeah, I mean, he's more conservative than Ronald Reagan, really. I mean, like, that's really how far things have shifted. You know, as far as, like, Ronald Reagan would be considered a tax and spend Democrat nowadays. if he came at things with his attitude.
But he didn't.
Stuff.
I seem to remember he did a lot of slashing, cut taxes, cut spending.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff. Obama increased spending and taxes during his administration.
I don't know about that.
He did.
I mean, most of the time, tax and spending goes down during Democratic administrations, and it goes up during Republican administrations, and they proclaim the opposite. But generally, if you look at it, like...
I guess I don't have any numbers.
The deficit goes up during Republican presidencies more often than it does in Democrat presidencies. Mm. But he did. He increased social programs and some other things.
Yeah.
But, like, Republicans start wars.
You're right.
And those are very expensive.
Yeah. See, but that... I agree that they do, but I don't... I no longer see the Republican warmonger, like, the Republican war hawk, or the act of being a war hawk as a Republican thing.
Oh,
you know, I think that's a very bipartisan.
Don't kid. I mean, yeah.
That's very bipartisan. Like, that Democrats are just as much on board with the starting wars. Like, you know, that whole crazy shit in Libya and Syria, that all happened under Obama.
Well, that's a more recent development in the sense that Obama was really the kind of the one that changed that, too. In the sense that, I mean, Clinton a little bit with Bosnia, Herzegovina, you know, he was kind of, there was some stuff that Clinton did. He bombed that place in Sudan and some different things.
Right.
But
Somalia.
Obama was definitely more on the ground and more getting things going.
He sent more troops to Iraq and whatnot.
Yeah. The idea that the Democrats were an anti-war party has sailed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think recently now, but up until very recently, that has always been, that's kind of hold over
platform.
From like the 60s, that they are the anti-war party.
Hold over from the Vietnam days.
But yeah, no, I don't think they are anymore. I mean, obviously, like, they want to, they're, I mean, you could argue that they're the Democratic or liberal forces in America are rallying the populace for a war with Russia.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, there is an argument to be made there. I mean, there might be reasons for that war or not. You know what I'm saying? But they are very much, like you said another episode a few times back, that they refer to them on NPR as our sworn enemy, the Federation of Russia.
Yeah.
You know, and like, you know, they're not our sworn enemy. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're in a lot of different councils with us. And like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're like a, you know, like we go to summits with them. Like, they're not our sworn enemy.
Right.
You know, maybe we don't get along 100%, but like, we're not at war with them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
and they make it sound like we should be, we ought to be.
Or we almost are, or something. You know what I'm saying? And that's an odd deal.
It is a very odd deal.
So they no longer can say that they aren't the war party.
Yeah.
You know.
That's mostly what I meant. I know the roots that they're coming from.
And how they ever could really say that is interesting because, I mean, they had Democrats in office during the entire Vietnam War as president. You know, Lyndon B. Johnson.
Yeah.
JFK.
Exactly.
I mean, it ended with Nixon, but that was like pretty convenient,
right?
You know, and then they kind of rode that way for a long time as the anti-war people.
Yeah, I've always thought that was
like,
bullshit.
They all voted for Iraq War. They
oh,
all
yeah.
voted.
They
I mean,
all
it's
they
all
did. I'm not trying to say that they are the war party. I just think that they've gotten away with this. Oh, we're peaceful. We're the peaceful blue, socially conscious Democrats. Like, no, you're just as war hawky as your John McCain's and whatnot. You know?
It's all money. I mean, people make big money off of war.
Well,
and
so much
the
money.
The more war you have, the more money you make at home, and
it's
the
like
better
the most
you
profitable
do.
Endeavor you could possibly undergo. Like, think of all the food, the ammunition, the supplies that just you flood them, you sell them to both sides.
Oh, it's amazing.
You know? And as long as you keep it going, it's like,
it's amazing. It's an amazing thing. And it's a product that sells more of itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more war you buy, the more war you need to buy.
Right. And the more war you get, it's a self-perpetuating thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's wow.
It's bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was pretty uplifting.
Yeah.
I love talking politics. I love that because that makes me feel really good about things.
I apologize for always bringing it to that point. I do think that you and I have, we've had a lot of political conversations in the past, and they do always kind of end with this sigh of like indifference of like, oh fuck, well, there's not a whole lot I can do about that, or it just is a fucked up situation, you know?
Yeah.
But that's something. On a lighter note, completely different note, Tool has announced that they finished their album.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, Craig, don't tease me.
Craig.
Don't tease me.
They made a post, okay? They made a post.
Okay, whatever.
And Maynard said, okay, listen to this, that the album would be out possibly before August.
Possibly, maybe before August.
We're seeing more action. I know it's such a, it's a meme now. Oh, the new Tool album. It's been like fucking 15 years or some shit. But we're actually seeing, what's different is we're seeing pictures of all of them together in the studio, that kind of stuff. Whereas it was just complete radio silence before. You know, so I get that it could still just be like a bunch of, you know, smoke and mirrors, but I'm excited.
Well, I mean, there's just lots of time between now and August. You know what I'm saying?
True. Yeah.
You know, one of them could decide that, oh, the guitar track just doesn't sound right. We're going to shelve this fucker for another 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. I need to go to the Himalayas.
How many years has it been?
Their last album was 2006. So, almost 15 years.
Fuck.
Like 13 years or something.
I mean, yeah, this is like not even like a next album now. This is almost like a grandpa tour.
A little bit. Yeah.
They're almost like a,
legacy act. Were you ever into Tool?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love fucking Tool. Yeah. I mean, I saw like their first tour in Denver. Yeah, I love Tool.
What's the Tool album for you?
Undertow.
Undertow.
Yeah, Undertow, nice. Probably.
The raw, still kind of a garage band type
that's
Tool.
That's my favorite one, I think, by far.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I love all of them a lot, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought that was kind of exciting, but at the same time, I know it's not something to get your hopes up about.
I'm sure it'll be great. You know, that's one thing that's like they've all continued to do things, and that's always been, Maynard's still interesting and vibrant as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm hoping that it's going to be fucking badass.
I hope so too.
I imagine it will be.
I really hope so too.
They're kind of like a Pink Floyd or something.
They are.
If they would have kept going, they should have put out more albums. But if they would have kept going, they could have been like this generation's Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
It was them or Radiohead. And I think Radiohead kind of took it.
Definitely.
You know? But those are the two. Those are the two bands that mattered in the 90s, really, as far as rock goes.
Yeah. And I think they're the only two bands that continue to matter to any great degree. I mean, Radiohead more so because of their...
Consistency. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
They still make you wait for like three years sometimes between albums. But sure. So they do come out with a new album every once in a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've always been sonically interesting and moving in directions. They do things every time.
Yeah.
They're not resting on their laurels in any stretch.
Exactly.
So gotta like that. Tom and the Boys.
Tommy and the Boys.
And Maynard and the Boys got to come back strong.
That's right. Yeah. I don't think there's any way you can live up to the kind of hype that they're facing, you know? Like, it's not going to be 13 years of amazingness. Like, it's just going to be another Tool album. You know, like it's...
But all the Tool albums have been fucking amazing.
They have been amazing. Like, I think it's going to be amazing. Like, that's no small feat to make another Tool album.
Right.
But I don't think it's going to be, like, exponentially better because it's... taken them this long to make.
Or people thinking that that's what's going to happen.
Well, I'm sure there's like this inevitable hype, like, oh, they've taken so long, and it's so it has this build up.
I don't know. I really feel like it is already at the level that if you can't really go much beyond the levels of you can't really do a better album than
10,000 Days. I love that one.
10,000 Days or Opiate or
Lateralis.
Anima. Or any of them. I mean, like, those are fucking awesome, great fucking albums. And if you just came back with another one that was as good as that, that could live up to whatever hype you had. I felt like that should.
Yeah.
There is no way you're going to top that.
Right.
Yeah.
I just want to manage expectations out there. And I'm doing it for myself, too.
Right.
You know, I'm like right. reminding myself.
Hopefully they can do what Blade Runner 2049 did to Blade Runner, is the fact that they managed expectations and nobody was disappointed in the way that it worked and the way that in that movie. Was it a better movie than the original Blade Runner? I don't really think so. Mm-mm. But like, man, it was not a disappointment.
Yeah.
You know, but and it was also a great movie in its own thing.
Yeah.
You know, are they going to make another 10,000 Days? You know, is it going to be as good as that? You know, maybe not. Mm. You know, because they've had other outings that aren't as good as that. You sure. know, I mean, Lateralis, I don't believe is as good as 10,000 Days. I mean, I like it a lot, but I don't know if I like it more than that. I definitely don't like any of those other albums as much as I like Undertow, as far as I'm concerned. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't think they're going to come out with another Undertow that I'm going to love as much as that.
Sure.
You know, but like, yeah. Yeah. I think it'll be badass.
Oh, it's going to be fucking badass. I'm excited. I really have to piss.
All right.
Yeah. So I'm gonna
that's
do
how we're
that.
Ending them now, is we just go until one of us has to pee.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if that's the best way to do it. I think I'm not saying I want to end it. I just, I'm distracted by my bladder.
Where are we at on time?
We're at about an hour.
Okay.
But if there's stuff that we cut out.
Like, we'll just take turns. I got up and peed and I'll end it now. I'll give everybody the thing. All and then we'll.
Well, bye, everybody.
All right, bye,
Wish
Spence.
Me luck. Wish
gonna
me luck.
Go. Yeah. All right, so everybody, that was Nature's Called, America's Sweetheart Away, Spencer. So I'm going to finish it all up with just the rundown of everything that we always ask you fuckers to do at the end of every program. First of all, Instagram, follow, like it. Everybody's doing it. If you're not doing it yet, then I don't know what you're doing with your life, because that's an amazing loss. That's an amazing empty area of your existence that you just don't know that you need to put that piece in. And it's just that one step of happiness that you could just reach out and grab. Just go there and follow our Instagram. Same with the Spotify and the Spotify playlists. You know, go to our user account and not the place that you listen to listen to our actual podcasts. There's a user account, and then we have all the music that we ever deal with on our show on there. And that's just like hours of fun. I mean, hours of fun. Get folks in the room and put that on, and nobody's going to know what the fuck you're listening to, because it jumps back and forth like crazy. But we're doing a little better. We're getting some mixes in there that kind of all go together that'll be good for the listening too. So that's going to be a fun thing. You know, you can write us a review on iTunes, because of the thing that makes the internet gods the happiest is the review on iTunes. And nobody knows why that is. Nobody knows why the gods are fickle in that way, but that's what matters, and that's where we would love to see it. If you have time to do that, or even if you don't have time, you have to neglect something important to do that, that would also be appreciated. Just go ahead and neglect those things you have to do and leave us a review. If you just want to send us a little email, or, you know, a picture of something, or just some links to some, you know, whatever, get rich quick schemes or whatever it is you got going, just send it to our Gmail, and that's idtu.podcast@gmail, and me and Spenny will be looking at all the mail that we get on there and passing on the appropriate stuff to the authorities so they can follow up. But all the other stuff is potentially like going to be read and looked at on the show, so that's fun. And yeah, I don't know. I guess it feels kind of weird and all alone without Spencer down here. But yeah, I guess I'm just going to say goodnight, everybody. We'll see y'all next time on the Inner Zones.
Idiots Discuss the Universe is recorded in the IDTU studios located in Portland, Oregon. All opinions and commentary has been carefully researched by the technicians and scholars of IDTU Research Academy, and therefore should be greeted with healthy skepticism and disbelief. No idiots were harmed during the making of this podcast.